I want to thank Brother Larry for that devotional. May it be a help to all of us to remember that it will be not us standing with the preacher man, but it will be us who stands on that great and honorable day. And we cannot say, "The preacher man did not tell me." I will be decided on me, on whether I rejected that Christ that Brother Larry describes, or if I, as the old preacher said, if I quit my rebellion and I laid my weapon down. I appreciate that, Mr. Larry. I just have a thought to share with you this morning. Came to me by way of Mr. Harper back on February the 10th. He spoke about a phrase and a verse in 1 Peter. You see, the question, is he precious? Is he precious? After reading Mr. Hawker's words, I reflected on it many days and how it applied to me. And I still do. Is he precious? The preacher man some time back dealt with the question, do we love Jesus? Can I say that I love Him? And so today, I want us just to look at a few verses here and some thoughts on matters pertaining to this. But if you will, let us first ask for help. Eternal and Holy Master, we thank You, Father, for Your abundant mercy to arrive once more at this location. Master, a place where we have hope. We have hope of continued teaching. If Thou wilt permit Thy Spirit, we reign at this time. Dear Father, help us to weigh the weightiness of the hour. The lateness of the time. And our place before You. So much will go on today in the name of religion. That's to help our hearts to seek unto Thee. put away traditions if they have found a place to seek that fresh manna. Our food can only come from Thee, Father. We are abundantly and eternally in Thy hand. Do help us, Father. Do watch over our pastor as he continues his travels. No dear ones gathered in that place. We ask for Thy rich mercies upon them also, Father, and his safe return. Dear Lord, now help us. Help us to hope, look at the holy real, Father. In Christ's name we do pray, Master. Amen. I'd like to start reading with you, if you would, in 1 Peter chapter 1. Down in verse 18. And I'm sure your week was much like our week. It was filled with all sorts of time-consuming endeavors, and the race was brisk. And sometimes we get accustomed to that, and we carry it over into the next phase. And for this morning, I'd like to ask you to, with me, to take a deep breath and let's just stop for a moment. Just slow down. This is not going to be a long event. But I believe there's something here of value. I would like to attempt to share it with you as best I can. But I need your help. I need your help to invite the Holy Ghost. They have free reign in this place. It is a serious matter. We have opened the page. Let's just take a deep breath and look at it and listen. Let's read a few verses. Chapter 1, verse 18, 1 Peter. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, and that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Mr. Hawker was looking at that verse 7, chapter 2. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. So the question came to me, is he precious? Is he precious to me? Can I actually say that? We live in a day, not to harp on the negative, but we can all see, it is abundantly clear, that many of these things are handled with such frivolity that when one says, Do you love Jesus? The natural impulse is for everybody to say, Oh yes, of course I do. If we ask the question, Is he precious? The same response. That would be common, wouldn't it? In our day. Probably always, most likely. So, as I reflected on it, just don't want to give an impulsive, quick answer. Well, I go to church about every Sunday morning. No. Lots of people do that. Lots of them. And if you deal with people long enough, you'll find out they're going to church every Sunday morning. Sometimes does not change anything. Because you'll find out a lot of them are just like everybody else that don't go. So that doesn't exempt me into a class that considers Jesus precious. So what do we what might we consider? In chapter 2 and verse 6, that word precious is used. I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Also in verse 7 again, that precious is used. And this is in the resources I had to look at. Basically, those two words are about, they're different words, but they have very similar meaning. Valuable, esteem, honor, referring to a price, costly price. Different words about the same meaning. It's at another level. It is at another place. It is more than common. Maybe better words can be used, but for now, we'll just hold it right there. The word confounded. This one that is elect and precious, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Shall not be. There's not many things in this life. Tim and Eric back there may call and say, we need to load a line thread this afternoon. Rain's coming. We need to get that thing down before the ground gets wet. Okay, we'll be right there. Well, by the time I walk out the door, air hose breaks. Maybe we get that fixed, and then we get on around there, and the tire goes flat. Next thing you know, it's already pouring down rain. So our intent and our motive was good in that we would do that. We had the ability to do that. But things beyond our control and sometimes maybe in our control prevent us. But when this scripture tells me that if you believe on Him, if you believe on Him, according to what the scripture calls believing now, John pointed out, a lot of folks say, I believe, I love, oh yes, He's precious. They say all those things. But if we believe as the scripture directs us to believe and what believing is, it also tells us that you shall not be confounded. I can tell Tim, yes, we'll be right there, but there may be things about to occur that I cannot control. And I may be prevented. But when the scripture says, you shall not be confounded, that's it. And what does confounded mean? As best I can determine and write it down, it deals with to confounded, to shame down, such as disgrace, to put to blush, dishonor, to be a shame or to make a shame. You believe on Him. It's written in all our texts. You're not going to be confounded. That is an absolute that cannot be hindered. Cannot be broken. The most powerful of individuals can tell you things will occur and they can make most of them. But they cannot approach They cannot approach the absoluteness. When it says shall not, that's what it means, shall not. So the point here is this one we're considering that is described as precious. First of all, your belief in Him will never and draw a line, infinity, left and right, and just let them keep running. For they'll never find a place where you'll bring disgrace or shame or dishonor. Your belief is well founded. It is fixed on one that cannot fail. Is He precious to you? Is He precious? Two fairly good examples. Belong to the church here. The first one I have noted deals with my mother, Lane's great-grandmother, one of his great-grandmothers. We had taken her pictures, photos, as much as possible in the short time before she actually got to see him. And that was good at the moment. But the day we walked in with him, the first time she held him, was a lesson for me. The question is he precious? She had been asking about him when we were going to bring him. And so the day came. And as we came in, she was eating lunch at the moment, and she flung that cart aside, almost strangled on the food she was eating, trying to swallow it so quickly. And this lady cannot hardly get up out of a chair in less than, it probably takes her at least a minute or more to stand up. And she almost leapt out of that chair. Now the question is, what? Is He precious? The lesson for me from that occurrence after I thought about it was this. She had seen photo images, but she had never met Him. She had never met Him before. But there was a connection. It was her great grandchild. It was the son of her granddaughter. She had a connection to him. You see. I have never seen Christ with my physical eyes. But when she saw that child, he was precious. That connection made him more than just another child that comes in. Do I have that connection to Christ that makes Him precious to me? Do I understand the connection? Do I understand before the foundation of the world the agreement was made that if I am one of these believers, that He was coming to get me. If you're one of these believers, He was coming to get you. Is He precious? Is He precious? Second thing occurred right here. I think it was the first visit that they made here. Could have been the second, I'm not sure. But anyway, regardless. Church had dismissed. All the ladies gathered around. Looking at Lanny. We turn at the back and the preacher man says, "That's the church." See, they're all gathered about looking down on him. And what he meant was, they have all shared in one way or another this experience. They know something of this child coming into this world. And that's the church. The ladies looking on. With the intimate knowledge of what it takes for this child to come and to be in this place. They have experienced in the past. And now they're there to celebrate this new one. See, they have a connection. They have a tie in this thing. They have a bond. And they're celebrating this new life. That's the church. She has had her experiences in the past. And now she's celebrating this new life. Is He precious? Mr. Arkell went on to pose a question. Is He precious to us in His various offices and places? And he mentioned a few, and as I have reflected on it, I have listed just a few of my own. Is He precious to me as my Redeemer? Do I appreciate Him in that particular office? Do I appreciate the innocent blood for the guilty? The willingness for the guilty. Is it precious? Next, I've listed the state of the intercessor or the mediator. Directly from the heart of God, He willingly comes into this world. And not only that, as one other mentioned in another place, He came in our form. He came in our form, and for almost 30 years, He was almost unknown of. Some occurrences along the way at times, but for the large part, nobody knew who He was. He was just another to the world, He was just another fellow. And so they posed a question to consider. What was He doing in all those times? We know some. But can it be that some of that time was where He spent learning about us. I mean, can you imagine? Can you even conceive that thought? That this one who sprang from the heart of the eternal God comes down here and takes the lowest form so that he can learn about you? So hence the question, is he precious? Is he precious only because you mean that he can get you out of the harm's way? Is that what? I don't think that's what they're talking about. Yes, he can. But I don't think that a fire escape is not what we're talking about. Is he precious to me as a confidant? Who better could you talk to? Who better can you explain your griefs and your despairs and all the other phases of life? And who would understand it better? Is he precious as a comforter? I've also listed as a friend what greater friend? The innocent comes for the guilty. He freely gave himself for the believer. Is he precious as a guide? Who possibly could be more sure? Is he precious? I have noted 1 Peter in verse 21 ties with that. I'd like to just read that for you if you don't mind for a moment. On the thought of the shepherd and God. Verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That we being dead to sins, if you stop at a moment's time and consider, if you go back any time, the question is he precious? Consider back there, before the foundation of the world, dead in trespasses and sins. Dead. That's it. Dead. And yet, I don't know if we are just so accustomed, we're just calloused to some degree because we've been around so many things all of our life that's called or related to religion. But is he precious? How do we not more understand what that is? Before the foundation of the world, this right here was coming. Dead and trespasses and sin is coming. But he still said, yes, Lord, I'll go. I will go. I will be their guide. I'll be their friend. When everything is going wrong, I will listen. I will beseech you on their behalf. And yes, Father, I will give myself for them. Is he precious? Baradessus, do we love him? Every time here lately, as I was looking at this, and I was thinking about what he said there, I look back at Isaiah this morning, what he said. Woe is me. Woe is me. Consider they take gold and these other metals and they try to make them pure and they get all the dross, they heat that stuff and all that dross comes to the top and they skim it off and whatever processes they use. And but here's a love described that is 100% pure. It is not tinged with anything. Nothing. Is he precious? My mother's example to me was, I think it will go with me as long as I live. And it is common, I know. All you great grandparents, you're all by luck. You see them for the first time, it's just, that her reaction was profound. And she will not give him up. If you let her hold him, you just about have to take him away from her. See? That's what I'm trying to get to. Is he precious? I don't want to give you a quick answer. I want to try to find out if it's real with me. And I ask you to consider it for yourself. Because if he is not precious, friend, it's a problem. There is a profound problem. We've described so many tender aspects of him, but he is not a doormat. Far from it. Is he precious? I asked that question, and back to Isaiah, all I can think is, I'm a man of unclean lips. When I think of everything that has occurred in my life, and what Brother Larry shared with you about Barrett, and for me too, it was such a dramatic change from what I had been accustomed to. It just had a powerful impact on me to be around people that spoke and lived the way they do. That I too was too impressed with the person. And though I love them greatly, I've got to answer this question for myself. Is he precious? Is he precious? Folks, I believe that's all that I have to share with you on this point. I appreciate your attention and your help. I hope it will be of some assistance to all of us if we are to progress as a people, as a church, and as a body. I think these are two questions that we're going to have to, for ourselves, come to a firm knowledge of the answer within ourselves. You can tell me anything. You can tell me, I'll try to believe anything you tell me. But that won't make it so. But you have a pretty good idea within you whether it's so or not. Just like me. So let us press on.